I want to start out this morning by telling you about a dreaded condition that has affected billions of people throughout history. Rich people have had this, poor people, middle class, many people have had this. Scientists, doctors, physicists, lawyers, truck drivers, nurses, teachers, Nobel Prize winners have had this dreaded condition. Janitors, soldiers, doctors, kings, queens, pastors, Baptists, Catholics, Muslims, Hindus, Anglos, Hispanics, Oriental, Native Americans, even professional baseball players have had this, basketball players. Some of the healthiest people of every type and classification have experienced this dreaded condition. People of all times have experienced this dreaded condition. In fact, the oldest medical document, the Egyptian Ebers Papyrus from 1600 BC, the oldest medical paper has documented this dreaded condition. It's known by a variety of names, nasopharyngitis, viral rhinitis, rhinopharyngitis, and acute coryza, to name a few. They're all talking about this dreaded condition. It is brought on by 200 different viruses out there, including Picarnovirus, coronavirus, and numerous strains of rhinovirus. That doesn't sound good, does it? You were feeling so good when you came in. Now you're... The average adult contracts this dreaded condition 2 to 3 times a year, and the average child gets this about 7 to 8 times a year, probably because they're not washing their hands enough. Symptoms include runny nose, headache, sore throat, cough, and sneezing, with symptoms lasting 7 to 10 days and sometimes up to 3 weeks. Of course, you've probably guessed this dreaded condition by now. It's the common cold. Now, it is called cold because we usually get it when it's cold outside and we're all stuck together inside a lot of times, and germs get spread a little bit quicker. Now, we sometimes talk about catching a cold, but I can't remember any time chasing after it. I think it catches me. We should say, I've been caught by a cold. Pass me the Kleenex. The cold is common because it's the most common disease that most, if not all, people have had. Of course, there are those who said, I've never been sick a day in my life. But have you ever noticed some of those, the healthiest people, they all die. So we're all sick with something. The cold cost a lot to our society. About $10 billion is spent going to the doctor to deal with the common cold. 189 million school days are missed because kids have a cold. The cost, 150 million work days are missed each year. It costs, they estimate, I don't know who has enough time to be counting this up, $20 billion to businesses due to the common cold, $20 billion. Now, the United Kingdom back in 1946 thought they would get right on it, and they actually formed an agency called the Common Cold Unit and began testing and trying, and they, you know, trying to cure the common cold. But in 1989, guess what? They gave up. The Common Cold Unit was dismissed. We just have to deal with the common cold. Scientists have studied the genomes of every single cold virus, but there is no cure for the common cold. Of course, you can gargle with salt water. I do that. That helps me. That really helps me. Those nasal rinses. Yeah. There's a lot of things that can help. You know, like washing your hands. Don't touch your mouth, eyes, nose, during this time. Wash your hands a lot. But I want to talk to you about a much worse condition that's common to every single one of us. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. I think you do. Is the fact that we are all spiritually terminal due to sin. We're all sinners. And the result of sin is death. It's 100% fatal. But I want to share with you this morning, as we continue to look at the ministry and life of Christ, that Christ came as the great physician, not only healing people and casting out demons and all these things that Christ did and is still doing today, but he came to provide a cure for the sin-sick soul. And he still comes calling sinners to come follow him and to find healing, as we'll find in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, where it says there on the screen behind me in your Bible, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Last week, as we were reading earlier in this passage, we saw Jesus had amazing authority, and the people were amazed at his teaching. He taught as one who knew what he was talking about, not like the teachers of the law. But then, as he was in this house teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they came to check out Jesus, see if they might criticize him or catch him in something. The house was full, and people had heard about Jesus. And outside the house, as far as you could see, there were people trying to crowd in to see Jesus and perhaps get healed. And these four men came carrying the paralyzed man, and none of the religious people would let him through the front door. But they climbed up to the roof, and they dug a hole in the roof and let the man right down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, this surprised everybody, because they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus said, I "so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, rise and walk." And what did the man do? He got up and he praised God. And the people said, "We've never seen anything like this before." Jesus proved not only has the power to heal, but to bring the greatest healing, his amazing forgiveness. A few days later, Jesus, it says again, was teaching the people. He went out beside the lake, and a large crowd, of course, came to him and began to teach them. I think in Luke 5 and other places, Matthew 9 perhaps, I forget, but often as Jesus was teaching, he went out there by the lakeside, by the Sea of Galilee, and it kind of provided a natural amphitheater, as he, you know, the shore goes up like that, and the crowds could be up here, and Jesus would be down by the shoreline, and he could speak out, and his voice would go forth. But sometimes a crowd got so intense that he would call for a boat. Give me a boat, and I'm all for that. And you'd be preaching from a boat and then go fishing. That's a pretty good deal. I think in Luke 5 or Matthew 9, in this same occurrence, he's in the boat. And he's teaching them. It says, and he began to teach them. Now, one of the things that we've seen the last few Sundays is that when Jesus came, he came healing. He came teaching with great authority and casting out demons. And the people kept on saying, well, you need to stay here so you can keep on healing. But Jesus said, no, I need to go elsewhere and to preach the good news, because that's why I've came. You see, Jesus came to preach the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. There's a new era. Things are going to change. This old world's not going to keep on going on like it's been going on. There's good news. There's a new king who brings eternal life and forgiveness of sin. You see, he can heal people and cast out demons. But he says the greatest thing is forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Repent and believe the good news. And he, you know, folks, we hear so much about this, about news of all sorts of times, bad news. And in our lives, we face bad news and disturbing news. But Jesus came to bring what? Good news. And if you'll listen today, he's got good news for sinners like me, like you, imperfect, sick people, that need healing, the healing of the soul. He brings answers to life. And after he was teaching that day, as he continued walking along there at Capernaum, along the Sea of Galilee, it says he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. As I read that, I thought how often when Jesus was walking along, it says he saw. Now, if you read in Luke chapter 19 about another tax collector named Zacchaeus who was up in that tree, what does it say there? It says he saw Zacchaeus up there. He sees people. And I like that. You know, he sees people and he calls them by name, and he told Levi, follow me, and Levi got up. Now, I believe and I know he still sees people and calls them by name. He sees sinners. You see, Levi, the son of Alphaeus, was a tax collector. You know, I think sometimes we think that God only calls people that have a stunning spiritual resume. Look at what, you know, that God's up here looking. Oh, look at what awesome good deeds that David has done. Look at what a caring individual he is. Or look at how these good things that Susie or Janie have done. I think I'll call them to follow me and join my tribe of followers. No. The truth is, all of our spiritual resumes before coming to Christ, we are all sinners. Amen. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're all sick. We need a healer, a helper. We also see that it mentions Levi, son of Alphaeus, that often as Jesus called these people, he called them by name. He knows us. Knows who we are, where we are. He sees us, and not just sees us, I think he perceives who we are. He knows us. He knows us by name. I forget what, you know, somebody was, some movie I watched where this kid looks up and he says, he knows, this character calls him up and he says, Joey, and the kid looks up and he says, he knows my name. Yes, Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are. He sees you. And he calls sinners to follow him. One day he came and he saw David, son of Richard. He said, David, come follow me. One day he came and said, Todd, son of Jack, come follow me. And Todd came and followed him. In fact, somebody this past week, Todd, was talking about back there in the 80s when you and others came and followed Christ. People still talk about that. That's something to celebrate. They said, Todd and Rich and Judd. Christ comes calling us by name. He calls imperfect people. He sees us and he cares for us. Levi was a tax collector. Of course, tax collectors have never been popular. You know, they haven't. They've never been popular. Nobody says, my son is a tax collector. You know, nobody. Well, is there anybody has children that are tax collectors? It's not a popular position. People of Israel, the Jews, hated tax collectors. And Levi, son of Alphaeus, he was a Jew, but he was looked at as a sellout. He sold out for money because tax collecting was very profitable. The Romans would kind of auction off tax collecting to the highest bidder. King Herod or Philip, whichever one controlled this area at that time, they were the puppet kings, and the puppet kings in these various areas, they were told by Rome, we expect you to send this much tribute and this much taxes. However you get it, that's up to you. The King Herod would turn around and they would have an auction. He would send out some of his people and they would have some bidding going on. Who promises, how much do you promise to bring in? And somebody says, well, I'll bring in, 10,000 denarii. I'll bring this much money in. And somebody said, I'll top that. I'll bring in, 12,000. And whoever said that promised that they would get deliver the most money, they got the bid. They were the chief tax collector. There's a name for that person. But underneath them, they would have a whole army of tax collectors that they would spread out at opportune spots, high traffic areas. And Capernaum was a high traffic area. I told you a few weeks ago that Capernaum was on a road called the Via Maris. It's a north-south road. It means way of the sea. People would come from Damascus, Syria, headed south. They would come there and head down towards along the Mediterranean on down to Egypt. And so on this crossroads here, this place from north to south, and also there's east to west, the tax collector, he was right there on the spot in his booth, some kind of shelter there. And the underling tax collector, which is what Levi was, he promised that he would bring in so much money to the chief tax collector. And Levi, of course, as long as he made that minimum expectation, all the rest was gravy. And there'd be a Roman soldier nearby, and they would. One of the common taxes I found out along here that there was a fish tax. All those fishermen catching fish before they could sell them. Guess what? They had to pay the tax. People traveling by would have to pay a tax. They would tax how many wheels were on your wagon or how many animals passed by along there. Well, you've got 10 animals, that'll be 10 denarii or something like that. One famous rabbi at that time was asked, is it okay to lie to the tax collector? And that rabbi said, certainly, he's a traitor. Tax collectors, it was if you touched a tax collector, you were unclean. You were forbidden to give your daughter in marriage to a tax collector. These guys were the lowest of the low. Yes, they were making big money, but they were outcast. They had all kinds of worldly wealth, but they had been rejected by their people. So as Jesus came along, he saw Levi, this reject, this traitor, this sellout, this person that people wouldn't even touch. They would spit at him after they handed him threw him their shekels or denarii. And he looked at that person and he says, "Levi, follow me." You know, that's how we think that Jesus only calls perfect people. Boy, they got it all together. Look at that. Hey, they're a prime candidate to follow Jesus. No, he comes calling sinners, the rejects, those that people look down upon, don't want to have anything to do with, that are sinners. They're imperfect people. And when we realize we are all imperfect, you can know this, he's calling you. Amen. And Levi, he gets up immediately, and I think in Luke it says he leaves everything and follows Jesus. That meant he gave up his tax collecting business, because guess what? If you got up out of that tax collector's booth, there's somebody else that would take your spot and would gladly start raking in the dough. They didn't care what people thought of it. As long as I can make that money, so what? But Levi, he got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. Because there was something, one, Jesus saw him, made eye contact. And he knew that Jesus had the power to heal, to cast out demons, that Jesus was filled with love. And he heard Jesus and he followed him. Jesus comes calling sinners. The Savior calls sinners to follow him. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, at that split moment that Levi got up and followed Jesus, if Jesus were calling you right now, which he is, will you get up and follow him? Will you get up and follow Jesus? It says that night or later, it says while Jesus was having dinner with Levi, the tax collector. You know, you were unclean. People looked at you as unclean if you ate with tax collectors. But it says that Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Now, literally, in some other translations, it might even say this, it says he was reclining at the table. In those days, they didn't have, you know, they weren't sitting around a big dinner table and sitting on chairs with four legs. They reclined. They were laying on pillows, and they would kind of laying on their side, and they would reach over with one hand and grab a piece of bread or whatever. That's how they ate. And here in that house, there's all these tax collectors and sinners. They're lying there around the table, and they're reaching over off the same table, rubbing elbows. That's what Jesus was doing. He touched sinners. He was eating with them. I imagine that Levi probably sacrificed a fatted calf. He killed a fatted calf. He had a big spread. Why? He was celebrating. He was celebrating Jesus called him. And Jesus was celebrating there with him, having a celebration dinner. And I believe that Levi also wanted his friends, other tax collectors, to know about Jesus. So he said, "Come on over, meet the man who called me to follow him." And he called all the other people that were looked down, all of his friends, the sinners. You know, I have talked to a lot of people. Even this past week, I was talking to somebody, and they said, "Well, I'm not that religious." That's the majority of people out there today. I'm not religious. I'm not that religious. Hey, that's good news. That's good news. I know what some people interpret as religious, but Jesus isn't calling religious people. He's calling sinners. Amen. And we're all sinners. Now, the Pharisees were there, and the Pharisees kept the law, but the people that they classified as sinners were those that didn't keep all of the interpretation laws of the Pharisees. They didn't wash their hands in the specific way you're to wash your hands and hold your hands a certain way. They didn't count how many steps they were walking on the Sabbath. They didn't do all these things that the Pharisees said, well, if you really want to make sure that you're keeping the Ten Commandments, then you've got to do all this. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Don't worry about it. Rabbi, whoever said that we should do this. And so we'll do it. If you don't do it, you're not that. You're not right with God. Jesus came to be with people who weren't religious, because religion doesn't save you, does it? Jesus, as I was writing this the other day, I wrote this statement. He wasn't too good to be around them. But then I thought, well, no. Jesus is too good to be around all of us. He's totally holy. He's totally good. He's never sinned. He's never done anything wrong. I said, well, that's not really right. He's too good to be around any of us, but he chose to be around us. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus didn't sin in being around sinners. Rather, he humbled himself. He came down from heaven. He gave himself. He came in order that he might celebrate salvation with sinners. And they were having a celebration that Levi had answered Christ's call, and Levi wanted everybody to know that. But when the religious crowd, those who were religious, saw Jesus having supper, and remember I told you last week, these houses, the windows were open. The front door, the door to their house was open, and people, walking by, they could see. And the people wanting to see what was Jesus doing. These religious crowd that was Pharisees that were looking down the nose, they were keeping tabs on Jesus, and they're standing out there. They're looking at Jesus. He's laying down there, and he's reaching over for a barley loaf, and he's dipping his bread into the same pot or bowl that the other guys are putting they are shocked. They are shocked. These Pharisees, I don't know, you may have already heard this, that word Pharisee means separated ones. We are the separated ones. We are the Pharisees. Because they got that term about 150 years before Christ was born. These Pharisees, this group rose up that really wanted to keep the law. They didn't want to go back to the way things used to be when people were worshiping other idols and not keeping the Ten Commandments. They wanted to do right, but they began to think that by doing right, that's what made them right with God. So they tried to do things all right, and they began thinking of themselves as better than anyone else. We are the separated ones. We are the Pharisees. And they looked at Jesus there with disgust. They were very self-righteous, weren't they? It was a works and performance-based religion. They thought they were right with God because they did all the right things. They were at the synagogue when they were supposed to be at the synagogue. But in truth, they were religious snobs and looked down their noses at sinners who didn't fall in with their interpretation of the law. They would have never done what Jesus was doing. They would have never reached out to a sinner. They didn't care about the tax collector. They themselves would have lied to the tax collector and not felt a bit bad about it. They were the righteous ones. And they asked Jesus' disciples this question: why does he eat with sinners? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why did Jesus eat with those tax collectors and sinners? Can you think of maybe a one-word answer? Maybe it starts with the letter L, love. He came to save sinners. He came to reach out to sinners. Why did he eat with sinners and tax collectors? Jesus heard what they were saying as they stared in the windows. And they're calling it, you know, how would you like it if, you know, you're eating this meal and these guys are spectating outside watching you at McDonald's while you're eating with all these sinners, you know? And they're saying, they're standing there in the restaurant and they're saying out loud to your friends, why are you eating with those kind of people? Why are you eating with those people? And Jesus heard them, and he said this very pointed statement: it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. We are truly blessed here in America that here in Springfield, we've got some good doctors in St. Louis, Chicago, Cincinnati, other places. We're blessed. There's a doctor for every, there's epidemiologists, there's cardiologists, there's pulmonologists, there's any kind of specialty. And sometimes I hear somebody say something, I say, well, what in the world's that? Well, that's somebody specialized, a doctor that specializes in that. We're blessed. I'm thankful for doctors because all of us have some kind of condition, you know. We all need doctors from time to time. I'm thankful for that. And I've run across people that haven't been sick, they say, a day in their life, you know. But guess what? People that are never sick today in life, they still die. Why is that? The person that's a picture of health, they die too, right? We all die. We're all terminal. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of diseases out there. There's this disease, there's that disease. No, why do people die? Because it goes all the way back. People were created to live forever. Do you know that? When God created Adam and Eve, he created them to live forever. But he told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day in which you do that, you'll surely die. And you read throughout the Bible, you know, Genesis 5, it lists all the people, and it says they died, they died, they died, they died, they died. Sin leads to death. We're all sinners, and we are physically terminal. But the good news is there is a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? Yes. Is there a doctor in the house this morning? Praise the Lord, there is. Yes. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I have not come to call the healthy. You know, the doctor comes for the sick person. Have you ever seen somebody that they need to go see a doctor? Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. No, you're not. Go see a doctor, please. And the truth is, spiritually, it's the same way. We're all sick. You're sick. I'm sick, and I need forgiveness and salvation. Thank goodness there's a doctor. This is not a hotel for perfect people here at Meadowbrook. Amen? We're people that are messed up, sinners that needed healing and needed God's forgiveness and a Savior. And I need Him. I need His healing power every day. That day Levi got up, he left that tax collector's booth. I think there's still something in Levi that he was ashamed of. He said, but man, this is, you know, I got tickets to everything. I got all the stuff. But then he said, there's something missing. He said, I can go out and get whatever I want. Whenever I want, I can buy stuff, I can do all, but there was something missing. He was on the take, constantly on the take. He knew how to manipulate those people who came through his tax collector's booth. He would look them in the eye, now, you move aside. I think there's something behind you. You know, he knew how to get that. He knew how to, he was after, he was on the take. He wanted this, he wanted. And he worked and he did whatever it took to get whatever he wants so that he would be happy, but that it was never enough. No matter how hard he tried, and when Jesus came along, he said, Levi, follow me. And Levi decided in that moment, I would rather follow Jesus than to keep on doing what I'm doing, because this ain't cutting it. Levi got up. Levi actually became one of Jesus' 12 apostles. Levi. Amen. Yeah, Levi, the tax collector. He was inner circle to Jesus, and yet he was a sinner. Amen. But you look there in Mark chapter 3, I think verse 14 or somewhere along there, and it gives a list of, you know, those Jesus called himself, and you won't find... I don't find Levi's name there, but you will find somebody named Matthew. You know what the name Matthew means? It means gift. Gift. Now, I don't know if Matthew had two names. Sometimes that's common to have a Greek name and a... But I think Matthew, either Jesus said, you're no longer Levi... Hey, just like he told Simon, you're Peter, you're a rock. Perhaps Jesus said, you're Matthew, you're a gift of the Lord. So he went from being a sinner, a tax collector, an outcast you're a gift of God. Or maybe Matthew himself or Levi himself said, the real joy in life comes from God's gift of salvation. God forgave me, and that's the greatest gift of all. I don't know why Levi went from that point on being known as Matthew, but he had received a gift of God, this sinner, a gift of healing for a sin-sick soul. Jesus had raised that paralyzed man off his mat, but Levi was a spiritual cripple. He was spiritually paralyzed. But yet he too rose up from that tax collector's booth and followed Jesus. Jesus healed him. Jesus forgave him. And Levi's life was changed. How about you and I? Would you answer Christ's call to come and follow? As he says, David, son of Richard. Or as he, you know, says, Rebecca, son of David. Or what, you know. Whatever your name is, come follow me. Would you leave all to follow him? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Would you come as we sing our closing song, I have decided to follow Jesus.